You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Right Side Radio. Thank you, Jeff Davis. Old friend of mine, been making his living with his voice for a long time. Anyway, we're filling in for Phil. Phil Williams, the Colonel, out on assignment. And it's a pleasure to be here with you. And gosh, what great response we've had so far. It's been amazing. Our number is 833-687-4448, 833-68-RIGHT. Right Side Radio with Jay Holland here today, Friday. What's on your mind? I would like to, now, you know, look, we can continue on with what we've been doing, and that's talking about the challenges we face in the United States of America, and they are significant. We could do that. I would like, if you would entertain me for a change, I would like for y'all to talk a little bit about this SEC realignment and the scheduling and all that. It's been kind of a buzz this week because the schedules were released and Kevin Skarbinski said, quote, Alabama and Auburn got screwed, unquote. And I'd like to know why. I have not indulged myself in reading as to what actually happened, who they're playing, why they're playing them. I do hope they kept some of the traditional rivalries. I'm sure Alabama and Auburn will continue to play. I'm sure Alabama and Georgia will continue to play. Auburn and Georgia will continue to play. I understand that Alabama and Georgia will play next year, not this year, but next year. And I've heard a few little hints and details, nothing major. So if y'all have a take on it, SEC football is only the biggest thing, like, ever in the fall. So, so it's a really big thing. And even though we're just getting into the summer real well, I mean, it's going to be here before we know it, folks. Face it. I mean, this is – it's inevitable. And, I'm not setting any parameters or subjects or anything. If you want to talk about that, I'd love to hear your take on it because it's, it's really one of those things that everybody, whether they're football fans or not, ends up being involved in football because they're forced to. if the husband has the guys over for the game, the gals are just stuck. So, they're going to be cooking or they're going to be, watching the game too, just because there ain't nothing else on the TV except football. So, that's just kind of the way it is. But sports, I like. I've always liked. I played sports. I lettered in all four sports my senior year in high school. And that was football, baseball, basketball, and track. We didn't know what soccer was. In fact, in 1974, Pelé came to the New York Cosmos, and we were like, who is Pelé? What is soccer? And why is he worth $1 million? Because he got $1 million contract. Pelé. He just passed away this past year, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. He invented the bicycle kick and all this stuff. Pelé was a heck of an athlete. But I didn't know anything about him. We had the closest thing we had to soccer was dodgeball. And soccer, I just knew nothing about. Zero. Had never even heard of it. So that's how that was the sheltered life I lived in school.
Well, we got a couple of text messages on it. And Brian from Huntsville said the SEC is merging the East and West.
Yes.
And taking the top two for the championship. That's what they're saying. And then we got Tony from Piedmont. Let's see here. Oh, man, now they're all flooding in, so they're all going to the top. He says, instead of the SEC East and West, why not the SEC North and South? We have Frank from Madison, Alabama. I bet if Bama and Auburn feel slighted, they could petition to the Big 12 for admission.
Well, yeah, there's always going to be some jokester prankster out there, too, and that's great, too, because sports is perfect for that. But it's really a... it's a big deal. And changing up the – I mean, eliminating essentially the SEC East and West is what we're talking about. We've got Oklahoma and we've got Texas coming in. And it's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out. But I'd really love to get somebody's take on it. It's 833-687-4448. That's also our text line. And if you want to watch the program, it's rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And click on the live stream link, and here we are. So me and Boomer, and whatever's on your mind here at Right Side Radio. Phil Williams on assignment today, and the Colonel will be back Monday. And I did know that the post office, for all their troubles and the problems that they have, they're not only buying advertising and spending money like crazy, they're taking Monday off. And I thought that, oh, yeah, you guys, come on. So it's Juneteenth. So the post office will not be delivering or picking up mail to deliver or take delivery on Monday. You'll have to wait till Tuesday. So, you know, hey, whatever you think, I'd love to hear from you on that even. But we've got a lot of interesting subjects going on, notwithstanding the future of America, with all of the various and sundry groups pushing for attention. Actually, not pushing. Some of them are even just outright, you know, claiming it and saying pretty much the hell with you, you know. So whatever's – it seems like whatever is whatever now. You know, it just don't matter. So 833-687-4448 is the number to call. And Tony from Piedmont, far as I'm concerned, four written documents, one King James Bible, two Magna Carta, three, Declaration of Independence, four, the Constitution with the Bill of Rights. Not bad. That's right, Tony. And, you know, they couldn't even agree on the Constitution. They had to put the Bill of Rights on there. That was a big deal. The Bill of Rights, the 10 original Bill of Rights, many in the Constitutional Convention did not want it, did not believe we needed it. And if not for the efforts of just a relatively vocal few that were persuasive, we probably would not have had the Bill of Rights. So it's very, very interesting and tenuous. And I really kind of want to go back to Will last hour. Will is a very studious guy. Will from Athens. He has read, he knows, and I think that he is very much a guy that has been diligent. But the history of this country cannot be condensed into just one single issue. And I'm not going to let slavery, no matter how bad it was, taint the good that this country has produced. And that's, you know, up for debate. And I welcome Will anytime he wants to call. And I'm sure Phil will do the same. But I'm not going to let the opinion of one who has done some research. And it's obvious that Will has done his homework. But the overall good that has come out of this country, being the beacon that it has been for the world, you know, in my opinion, far outshines the derogatory effects of what happened 150 years ago or whatever. It's just, you can't undo it. So why continue to wallow in all of this misery? Because the war between the states was a miserable time to live. I don't know if y'all have read really a whole lot about the conditions, but if, say, you were in Vicksburg, Mississippi in 1864 and you were reduced to eating rats and bugs, I'd say that'd be pretty bad. Nothing. Nothing like we have today. Now, I don't doubt that there are pockets in big cities particularly, and there are places in this country where there are still some of those kinds of problems. But for an entire city the size of Vicksburg, Mississippi, reduced to eating rats and bugs just to survive is just not happening in this country. We do have some problems in small pockets and some issues going on, and especially in big cities. Crime and all of this other stuff in Democrat-run cities particularly. But Will would not even listen to the fact that Democrats brought all this stuff on through Jim Crow. The Democrats wrote the Alabama Constitution of 1901. Now, I will say that throughout my tenure of being on radio talk show hosts, and I've been on many stations, but I have always been consistent in not wanting to rewrite the Alabama Constitution of 1901 because, and only one reason, and that's because of taxes. If you give liberal Democrats an inch, they're going to take a mile. And that's just the way it is. That's just that's a proven fact. Democrats are going to do what Democrats do, and that's tax and spend. Joe Biden is a perfect example of it. He gets into the presidency, and within 8 months, he's got three bills passed for $1.7 trillion each. There was a headline that came up on Fox News just a moment ago that said the national debt has reached $32 trillion. This is what Democrats do. Now, I'm not saying the Republicans aren't partially responsible for some of this. They are. But by and large, the spending problem that everybody complains about in Washington, D.C. is Democrat-led. Just like the Democrats instituted Jim Crow, they're still playing havoc and mischief, making mischief on the rest of us. And the very guy, Will, from Athens, who was complaining about it, doesn't even acknowledge it, won't recognize it. He won't lay the blame where the blame properly lies. And that's with Democrats. Now, I'm not making this stuff up. And I wouldn't if I could, because the truth is always stranger than fiction, as the old saying goes. And the truth is, Democrats are the majority of the reason we have a $32 trillion debt. Now, Republicans like to pat themselves on the back for reducing some of that, like Kevin McCarthy made the promise that he was going to kill those 87,000 IRS agents, which they didn't do. They reduced the amount that went to the IRS, but they didn't kill it. They didn't even come close to killing it. So, and the Republicans went along with the, with a lot of these bills that were passed. Obviously, they had to. So, I'm just really fed up with most all of it. Now, I'm a Republican, quote, and have been. I was a Republican in Etowah County when they could meet in a proverbial phone booth, as the old laugher went. You know, I was one of the few that were vocal about being a Republican. Jim Martin was one. Charlie Bowman was one. Lynn Clayton was one. Don Wilson was one. There was just a handful of us. But I'm telling you, Republicans, by and large, have never really had the kind of power, especially until recently here in Alabama. So we'll talk more about it. I'm Jay Holland, sitting in for Phil Williams, and you're listening to Right Side Radio. Right Side Radio, we're back. I'm Jay Holland, sitting in for Phil Williams. The Colonel is on assignment today, and I appreciate him asking me to fill in for him. So here we are. Love to get your take on any of a number of issues we've been talking about. 833-687-4448 here on Right Side Radio. We are all over North Alabama. Solid conservative and just plain right. So, what's your take? I still would love to talk a little SEC football. By the way, you can also text us. And I don't know, Boomer, we got any more new texts on the ticker line there?
Oh, the texts are kind of silent right now, surprisingly. But I did pull up these schedules you've been talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a huge sports fan, but honestly, kind of like you, I have when they first announced all of the new scheduling, I was all about it and listened to it all the time. But then I just kind of fell away from it this past, this past whole springtime and everything when they were announcing it. But I got Alabama, Auburn, and Georgia's schedule pulled up. I just wanted to glance at it and see what everything was about.
Yeah. So what was Skarbinski talking about?
Well, since they're combining all the SEC and trying to do the top two teams play for the championship, you got Alabama's schedule right here, and they're playing. We got Auburn, Georgia, Missouri, LSU, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and then you got Vandy and South Carolina thrown in there as well, which is, I mean, that'll make it a way harder schedule.
That's
with
a
all
very
that.
Tough schedule.
Yeah, yeah. And then Auburn, has Florida, LSU, Georgia, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, A&M, and Alabama. So you got all
well,
that.
That's no cakewalk either.
No, it's not. So... I mean, they kind of definitely made those schedules way harder for them. And then you got Georgia over here, and this
oh, yeah,
in 2024,
yeah.
This schedule right here, they got it for
UT Martin.
Well, they do have they're starting off with Clemson, yeah. I guess that But then you got the Gators, still the Yellow Jackets, Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Kentucky, Ole Miss, and the Longhorns. They got the Longhorns on their schedule. So I mean, I guess it's a little bit harder for them too. So
I think Alabama's opening with Texas this year.
They are this year, I believe. Yeah, I know they did last year.
Yeah.
So
well, they went to Austin,
right?
So I think that Texas is going to reciprocate. So they'll be at Bryant-Denny. So that should be interesting. And we have a bottom of the hour break coming up. Gosh, time flies when you're having fun. So we must be having a lot of it. I'm Jay Holland, sitting in for Phil Williams. You're listening to Right Side Radio. We'll take the break, and we'll be right back. Right Side Radio. I'm Jay Holland, sitting in for Colonel Phil Williams. And we're covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Would love to hear from you if you'd like to text us or call us. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Boomer and I were just talking about SEC scheduling, and I pulled up Georgia's schedule here.
For this year, right?
For this year.
Yeah, for this year.
Now, we all know that they have won the national championship twice. And in my opinion, this is how they've done it. I'm really not impressed, shall we say, especially with the first two games that Georgia is playing. And they are playing them at home in between the hedges. And it's UT Martin is who they lead out with September 2nd. Then they follow that up with the college football powerhouse at Ball State September 9th. Then they welcome in the Gamecocks from South Carolina, which they're, you know, they've never been an SEC power, never. They've always been fairly good. And I'm not running down South Carolina, all you South Carolina fans. I'm just simply calling it like it is, like Yogi Berra. Remember Yogi? You got to call them like you sees them. South Carolina comes into Athens, and the first three games are in Athens. And then, well, no, the first four games are in Athens. They play UAB in Athens. Whoa. So the first four games, cupcakes. Then they're going to travel to Auburn. Now, that's going to be a pretty good ball game. They'll be tested there. Then Georgia welcomes in Kentucky. That's tough. Then they travel to Nashville to play Vanderbilt. All right, Florida in the world's greatest martini party or whatever they call that thing down there in Jacksonville. Georgia plays Florida. Not a big deal. Then, of course, Missouri, which almost beat them last year, comes to Athens on November 4th. Then Ole Miss. Now, that's a new addition this year for Georgia. They've been avoiding the SEC West teams. So Mississippi will be November 8th, and it will be in Athens. Then the big game of the SEC East, and this will be the last year of the West and East divisions, but Tennessee will welcome in the Doggies from Georgia at Shields-Watkins Field, Neyland Stadium, Knoxville, Tennessee, on the banks of the Tennessee River. That will be their only real big test again. Then, of course, they finish up the year with their so-called rival, Georgia Tech, which is another cupcake game for them. So I will say Kirby Smart has been very smart in his scheduling, which has allowed him to be competitive enough to capture two national championship games. I mean, that TCU game was just a laugher, just a total laugher. I knew that was going to be the case before they ever even played it. I didn't even watch it. It was terrible. Why in the world would you spend 3 hours watching something that you knew the outcome of? TCU, give me a break. They were all hyping that up like it was some big deal, you know? But it was just another tactic that Kirby Smart was able to maneuver and manipulate. But I started a Twitter storm. After the national championship game, I said, very predictable. Didn't watch it. Georgia had such an easy schedule all year long, you know. But it's true. I'm not the biggest dog fan, even though I grew up in Dalton, Georgia. All my high school buddies, they look at me like I'm some Benedict Arnold. But And in case for those of you that don't know who Benedict Arnold is, look him up. So it's definitely they think I'm conflicted or something. I don't know what their problem is, but my high school best friend from third grade, we swapped texts during college football season all the time. And of course, he's the biggest, ugliest, hairiest dog fan there is. I mean, a hairy dog. And, you know, he don't want to hear any real truth. And he don't want to know that Nick Saban has changed the face of college football. You know, and following up with what, you know, Coach Bryant had done before him and some of the other coaches, Gene Stallings and some of the really good coaches. Now, I'm not going to throw Bill Curry in there with that, you know, what was that coach's name from OP? I can't think of his name right now. He's kind of a forgettable guy anyway. What was his name? Golly, DuBose, Mike DuBose. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, like many good programs, like the Israelites, you know, they were forced to wander in the desert for 40 years, you know. So Alabama had a series of, you know, questionable coaches, you know, before we finally found Saban in 2007. But anyway, you know, it's just a really great time of the year. And while I've never been a really big sports talk guy, I've always been attracted to college football particularly and high school football. You know, I did high school football games for 30 years, you know. I played high school football. I loved high school football. College football was always one of those, you know, wow, big deal kind of things, you know. And so I've always been interested in it. But, you know, news talk has been my love throughout most of my career. And I was just telling Boomer the first talk show I ever did was in 1983, late January, January 28th, I believe it was, the day Coach Bryant passed away. I was a rock and roll DJ at WGAD, and I was getting ready to go on the air at 2:00. And while I was in the studio, and my engineer, Troy Pennington, was getting out of the studio, I was getting in the studio, and I heard the AP machine. That was back in the day when those mechanical AP machines just pounded out news all day long. I'll never forget that sound. It was so distinctive. And it was kind of loud, so we had to keep our studio door closed because, you know, if you didn't, you'd hear the AP machine on the air. So anyway, I heard the AP machine hit 5 bells, ding, 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 ding. And I thought, oh, my gosh, something's bad happening. Of course, we all knew Coach Bryant was in the hospital, Druid City Hospital in Tuscaloosa, in critical condition. So I walked out there and started reading. The thing had already typed the dateline, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, close parentheses, hyphen, Coach Paul William, and it was typing out bear when I saw it, and I knew that he had passed away. So I called my general manager, Ed Carroll. Many of you probably remember Ed, just a really great radio guy. Had a wonderful wife and two beautiful girls, Peggy and Patty, and we called his wife Alice in Wonderland. Alice was just so sweet. She was in the Navy. She was a Navy wave, and Ed was a bosun's mate on the USS Boyd in World War II. If you don't know who the USS Boyd is, it was a Fletcher-class destroyer that drew fire in the South Pacific, fighting the Japanese. And Ed, he was always a hero of mine anyway, but he hired me at WGAD and started mentoring me through the radio business. And he's one of the reasons why I stayed with it. I had started in high school in 1973 at WTTI in Dalton, Georgia, but had come to Jacksonville State, and we signed on WLJS, the campus radio station there. And I had really gotten involved in radio. And in October of 1977, I was hired at the old WQEN, Q104. And I did nights, 7 to midnight. And, you know, me and David Driscoll, my old buddy in Huntsville, and David, if you're listening, I hope you are. He's an old radio dog, too. He was at WAAY and some legendary stations in Huntsville. And David Driscoll and Leo Davis, me and David and Leo, were all hired at the same time at Q104. So we really were trendsetters back then. Q104 was the first real 100,000-watt FM that ever played contemporary music on an FM station. Prior to that, FMs were like, we called them, quote, elevator music, unquote. So anyway, we had a 100,000-watt FM. You could hear from Auburn to Chattanooga and, you know, as far west as Tuscaloosa and as far east as Rome, Georgia. I'm just booming there, you know. And it was massive. I was on the air there one night, and I asked for the 23rd caller for an album. And this is no joke. This is the truth. This was a Friday night, and I asked for the, like, 23rd caller for a Boston album or whatever. And we shut the phone system down from Birmingham to Rome and to Atlanta. The whole South Central Bell system collapsed because so many people were trying to call in to get that album. Phones went dead. Everybody, you know, that Monday morning, they were, South Central Bell was at our studio, at our station, wondering what the heck we did. And so from that, prior to that, we only had like 543, 546 was our exchanges for Gadsden. Then after that, they created 545 exchange for Gadsden. They put us on 545. We were the only station or business or residence in the entire area on 545, so we wouldn't collapse the phone system again. So Boomer's like looking at me like, you got to be kidding me. But no, that's the truth. That actually happened. And we collapsed the phone system on a Friday night from Gadsden, Alabama, just by asking for the 23rd caller for an album. So radio was huge, H-U-G-E, big, really big in the late 70s. And I stayed at Q104 till like 1980 and then went to WGAD. But the first talk show I did, I was terrified because I called my manager and said, Ed, Coach Bryant's died. And he said, oh, mercy me, what are we going to do? And I said, well, I think we ought to take calls. We can play records anytime, you know. And he said, oh, yeah, okay, do that. And he said, while you're at it, he said, just mark off all the commercials. We'll make them up tomorrow, he said. And I immediately got nervous, very scared. I mean, I was going to have to be on the air from 5 minutes after NBC News, 5 minutes after the hour, to the top of the next hour. That's 55 minutes of dead air I got to fill. And I was literally scared. So NBC News goes off. I open the mic. I do the weather just like I normally would. And then I read the little small paragraph that the AP machine had typed out. Coach Paul William Bear Bryant has died at the age of 69, Tuscaloosa, Durant City Hospital, blah, blah, blah. By the time I got that little short paragraph out, completely read, all six lines in the control room were blinking. So that day I had on Steve Clay, Wayne Owen, John Kroll, all of the guys that lived around the Gadsden area that played for Coach Bryant. I had one of the best guests I had that day was Jimmy Smothers. Jimmy was very good friends with Coach Bryant. In fact, he would end up after the games at Coach Bryant's lake home on Lake Tuscaloosa every Saturday night. and they would party late, early, whatever, 2 a.m. Jimmy confided in me. He said, you know, I was good friends with Coach Bryant, but I got more of my information for my sports stories from Mary Harmon than I did Coach Bryant. So Jimmy was great. Anyway, we'll take the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Right Side Radio. Side Radio. I'm Jay Holland, filling in for Phil Williams, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Okay, kind of wrapping up here. We've got less than 3 minutes, so I'm just going to kind of hang on to it here and sort of sum up everything. It's been great. Pretty much went as I expected it would. You know, when you throw things open for folks, they respond. And I want to thank everybody who called in. You know, Will was probably one of the most provocative ones that called. And while I appreciate his perspective and especially his knowledge, I just don't think he's right as far as wanting me to feel some sort of guilt for something I had nothing to do with. And unfortunately, that's kind of a characteristic in this day and time. If you look at what's happening in California and, you know, places where they're demanding in your face, you do this or else what? That kind of attitude is just not productive. It's divisive. It hurts more than it helps, especially when we're $32 trillion in debt in this country. I mean, that's a headline just today. We hit $32 trillion. So we're going the wrong way fast, more than fast. We're going the wrong way at light speed. At warp speed. And it's just not getting any better right now. But I don't look for that trend to continue. I think that we have what it takes to rid ourselves of these problems. Now, obviously, they have manifested themselves in some very destructive ways. The Summer of Love in 2020. As a good example, it's really disheartening that it has to come to that. But you have all of these groups now. Everybody's in a group. You know, you have all of these traditional groups. Then you have some of the newest groups. And they're all wanting something from somebody just because. There's no particular reason. There's no real rhyme. There's no real logic. Just give it to me and shut the heck up. So it's really a sad day from that point of view. But the hope is in you. You're where the real power lies, not with these groups that are so whiny and needy. You're the hope. You're the reason we're here, and you're the reason we're going to stay here. So keep it up. Keep up the education. Keep up the resistance. Keep up everything that you're doing, because it's working. Love you guys. Thanks for allowing me to be a part of your day. I'm Jay Holland. Take care. This is Right Side Radio.
Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there.